Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you this morning. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your mercy. Well, thank you for bringing us together again. We pray the Lord you continue what you've been teaching us about until we really grasp the depth, the width, and the height of the call of God upon our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We quickly want to read from verse 1. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, that they would and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidding, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their separate ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. So for many are called, but few are chosen. We are still looking at the fact that we have been called. We have been called. All right, so we're looking at the call of God. All right? And we're saying that the Bible is saying that many people are called. So we're looking at, what are we looking at? You remember? Samuel, do you remember what we're looking at? Oh, you are stretching yourself. It looks like you are still sleeping in the church. Hallelujah. What are we looking at? Sorry? What it means to be called. Because we lack the understanding and the meaning of being called by God. And that actually makes us either not respond or do not appreciate the call of God upon our lives. Many people prefer to do other things than to do what God wants them to do because of the lack of understanding. I mean, the lack of understanding about so many things is what keeps us in the dark. I read in the newspapers about how David Paterson, the new minister of public infrastructure, is consulting the Dutch about the drainage problem we have in the country. I said to myself, why did it take them so long? Because if you want to deal with drainage, if you want to deal with water and land, the best people to deal with is the Dutch. And then if you look at everything we have in Georgetown, it was all constructed by the Dutch. So just as we say that when you are married, it's something we also preach and teach, that marriage is an institution that is ordained and established by God. You get it? It is established, it's ordained, it is ordered, and it's established by God. And therefore, should you have a problem with your marriage, there's nowhere you can go but to God. Because He is the one who made it. You don't take something that somebody made it to somebody else who didn't make it. They can't understand the thing. They can't understand the product. In fact, that is why, even in this world, if you buy any electronic equipment and then you have a warranty, and then if you allow any electrician or whoever to open it up when it's faulty, before or within the warranty, should you ask the original manufacturer to look at it again? They'll say, no. It has been tampered with. And we are not going to touch something that somebody who doesn't know our product has touched. Are you listening to me this morning? You know, so there are things that God only can fix. And that's why when I saw that news, I said, wow, this is very fantastic. Because it's the Dutch who built Georgetown. They knew that Georgetown is below sea level. Just like Amsterdam, their economic capital is below sea level. In fact, the way Amsterdam is, you enjoy it when you go there. And somebody like me who has lived in Amsterdam before, I find it very, very unfortunate how we have destroyed Georgetown. Because in Amsterdam, there is a revenue. There's something, you know, tourists come to Amsterdam for so many things. Number one, they come to smoke weed. Because it's one of the few countries where you can smoke weed openly. Because you are allowed to smoke weed. A lot of people come there to sniff cocaine because you also are allowed a little few grams of cocaine for your personal consumption. Limited amount. It's one of the few places where prostitution is also okay. So you go to a place where all forms of women are. Red, blue, green, yellow, short, tall, big, fat, whatever type you want. You can go there, pay your little 25 euros, and you can have a good time. So people come to Amsterdam to explore all these things. Now, there's another aspect of tourism in Amsterdam that is so fantastic. Like the trenches that we have. You see, black man, it's very sad though. These huge trenches that we have allowed grass and wild weeds to come out of. The Dutch have made their city in such a way that you can go around the city and within the city on a boat on the canals. Yeah. So you can start from here and go. The bridge there between the police outpost and it's high enough for a boat to go under it. It's not that flat. Boat, they call it water taxi. They have some that
you paddle yourself. Boats that you paddle yourself. So you can go and rent those boats, you and your sweetie darling pie. And then just paddle, row, row, row your boat. Gentle down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. With a little picnic basket with some fruits and some drinks and some sandwiches on it. And during the summer, you just go all over from East La Penitence. You go all the way to like Charlestown, Alboystown. You can cross somewhere to Brick Dam, come up somewhere. Oh, in the water. So even though their country is below sea level and the water comes into the country, they have managed to use taking something that is unfortunate to become a blessing. Pastor Isan will tell me, I tell Pastor Isan, I said, Pastor Isan, this water doesn't flow anywhere. He tells me it's high tide. I said, bye. He says, they say high tide, high tide. So the thing can't open the cockers for the water to go. I said, why the thing ain't flowing nowhere? I tell you. If you look at our president's house where he lives, the way the flood has moved him out of the house. You know, when he became president, he said he wasn't going to the state house. Now the flood has moved him because the last time it rained, that record rainfall, he couldn't handle it. Now, if you look at the water that, gathers around his house, it's not flowing anywhere. It's cut off, Sherwin. I mean, to me, it's common sense. It's cut off. Because there's supposed to be a connection between that part, the Chinese embassy, and the trench that is on home stretch. And that canal is supposed to flow all the way to the Demerara River. But once you get to the president's office area there, that bridge, the Nile is not flowing anywhere. That bridge is supposed to be high enough. Finally, Patterson says he's going to bring a Dutch. I'm sure they will come and they tell them all the nice things that some of us know already. Yeah, so we are preachers, so they won't listen to us. It's a preacher. Are you with me? So we are talking about understanding something. Once you understand it, you are able to fix the issue. You are able to embrace. Even when you understand something, problems are challenges. It's true. You take something that you are struggling with, like a machine or equipment or something, and go to a repairer who knows how to do it, say, oh, this thing is... This. Okay, don't worry. I'll look it after. I'll check it. He understands it. So as you are anxious and you are frustrated that your blender or your hair dryer is not working, it's some wire that has disconnected from somewhere. It's a small problem. So understanding something is very important. And we need to understand what it means when the Bible says that for many are called. And we say that to be called means what? What's the first one we learn? To be called means to be summoned distinctly. Hey. Summons. I went to serve somebody some summons the other day. Yeah, first time in my life. Can only happen in a mission field. I tell you. Because we have to take some people to court. Yeah. Because we give them money for something and they don't want to give us the thing. So they have to give us back our money. And they say, tomorrow. I realize this tomorrow. So went to the court martial. Went to serve them summons. Yeah, I said, when that day comes, tell the magistrate that tomorrow. Magistrate will tell you, no tomorrow. Today, pay the church now. Yeah, so when we say you have been summoned, it's like, you see, and the summons, when you are serving summons, you go to the address of somebody. It's a big area. It's like, have you done that before? No summons. But it's very fun. I was watching a movie on William Curry. Yeah. This morning I was just watching a movie. You know, it's nice to watch a movie on Sunday morning. And William Curry is the guy who said, this is the work of God. We must expect great things from God. And we must attempt great things for God. Yeah, so it's out of that statement that we had our camp.
And the Jamaicans also had their camp. Expect.
Because he was talking to the Baptist Missionary Society in England. You know, he was giving them the reasons why we must look outside and think about other people. And he says that this is the work of God. Let us expect great things from God. And let us attempt great things for God. That was his plea to the society to allow missions and missionaries to be sent out from England. You know, so well, when the very, very nice movie they made, it was very fantastic that when he landed, it took him 6 years for his first convert, isn't it? 6 years before he was able to convert one person. Yeah. 6 years before his church became one person. Pastor Keith. 6 years! Now, if you are a missionary and 6 years, you have one convert, you say you are not called. Yeah, you pack your bags. Within the 6 years, his first son died. No, his little son, his second boy, he died. His wife got mad and died as a result of that. Yeah, the woman even stabbed him at a point. Yeah. Missions. You see, so you and I, we are in Guyana enjoying some small late night meeting. You have to come. You ain't able. And people are, it's very fantastic. The woman lost her mind because the guy, you see, the guy, he it took 5 months from England to India on the boat. 5 months. Now, if somebody tells you, you go somewhere, it will take you 5 months to get there, do you think you'll go? 5 months. His wife didn't want to go, so they encouraged his wife's sister to go with them. And that's how the wife was able to go. When they arrived, a friend who, the few pounds they had, the guy had gone to buy scissors and knives with to go and sell it in India to make more profit. So when they got to India, the people said, oh, we'll give you this money. They said, oh, no. These things are far, far valuable than the amount you are giving me. He said, are you sure? He said, these are quality English scissors and knives. Where will you get them? He said, where will I get them? See the next table, English. The table there, British scissors. You see the guy there? It's my brother. He has scissors and knives selling, also from England. So William Carey looked at the guy and said, what is happening? He said, it's the money we were supposed to come with. That's what I used to buy the scissors to come and sell here. The guy moved from one house to the other. Oh! The woman, the wife got mad. I was telling my wife this morning, said, hey, Charlie, somebody's wife got crazy. You are blessed, Pa. So your little problems, you shouldn't be worried at all. The woman got mad. One day she was in the bedroom, was tearing the mosquito net, put it up, and the husband was bringing him her food. The husband entered the room. He said, ah, you are a murderer. You killed our son. Ah, yeah, I, yeah. She went bonkers. She died. I say, what have you been through for the sake of the gospel? Some little from East Bank to come here on a motorbike. He said, hey, it's my motorbike. He said, Reverend, it's my motorbike. It was raining, it's motorbike. Hey. Somewhere, Sunday morning, you can't even get up from your bed. You have to wet you, put water on you Sunday morning before you wake up. 6 years, the guy got only one convert. Yeah. I tell you. Fantastic. Yeah. So you must understand your call. Otherwise. Yeah. So to be called means to be summoned distinctly. In all of it, in all of the things that was going on, the guy didn't lose hope at all. He looked happy more than his wife. Yeah, because he understood the calling. Even though he found it a little challenging, the things that were coming his way, he was not shaking at all. Yeah? Yeah. And at the point where he was living was under British rule, and the British didn't allow him to preach because they said he was coming to change the lifestyle of the people, and they didn't like that. So there was a small island that was controlled by the Danish, those from Denmark.
That place, you had the freedom to preach.
So he had to move there.
Charlie.
Understand, what does it mean to be called?
I want us to look at point number 3 in the book, page 34.
To be called means to be appointed for a special purpose. To be appointed for a special purpose. Well, Carrie, you know what happened to Carrie? Carrie began to see fruits when he started translating the Bible into their own language.
That's when they started to read
and understand. That's when he started. So anytime he gets a convert, then the people beat them up.
Because then they tell them that they have broken their allegiance to them. They've joined the white man. So they used to beat those people who become converts. They beat them up.
Yeah.
Because one of the things he saw was one of their culture is like, when your husband dies, you have to die with your husband. Yeah. They were cremating a husband.
And there was this wife who they collected and put next to their husband, and they burned her alive with her husband. So he was like, what kind of tradition is this? What kind of craziness is this? So he was very, very, very concerned about the Indian people. You know, to tell them that, no, Christ has set you free from these things. He wanted to preach, but he was trying. It wasn't working. He started translating the Bible into their native languages.
Then people started understanding and reading. Then that's when one convert came.
Yeah.
And then before he even started this publishing, a couple heard of him from England, and they were motivated to join him in India. All his 6 years of trouble, so they joined him. And they were teacher and this, and they started this printing something. And then one night, the whole place burned down. That's where I got to. And I stopped the movie. To be continued.
No, you to be called means you have been appointed for a special purpose. Appointed for a special purpose. There's a purpose for you. And it's a special purpose. Let me tell you, if Noah knew that he was called and that he was appointed for a special purpose, he didn't know when he was being born.
Many of us on this earth, we don't even know our purpose.
Yeah, many of us, we think that we have come here, we think we are going to live a better life, we think we want to get married, we think we want to prosper, we think we want to get that. When we get a little thing, we are so excited, we are so blessed, we are singing songs when we get things. And many of us don't find our purpose. You see, the calling of God is like the one who has introduced you into this world has a reason why he introduced you here. And that is that which you must find. You must discover that. And you only discover that when you accept the call of God. Then you will find a purpose. Is it because this Curry guy that I'm talking about, he had to go to India all his life in England. He was a shoemaker. Yeah, he was a cobbler. Just shoes he was making. And then somehow, India became something for him. And he argued his way into India. 6 years of punishment. 6 years of punishing. 6 years of problems. Hey, your son dies. Your wife goes mad and dies. He stabs you. Bleeding from the forehead, back just above the eye here. 6 years. Hey,
can you handle it?
Not a single fruit. No job, nothing, no money. Yeah. You have to understand that if he had understood it earlier that his ministry was going to be was going to flourish by printing books. Maybe he would have started earlier. But maybe also it was all God's planning. You see, because whatever happens, you can't blame anybody for that. But I want to tell you that God has called us, He has called you, and He has the calling is an appointment to a special purpose. Yeah. Anytime anybody calls you, there's a reason why they call you. If you get a phone call, it's not to chat. It's not like, I'm feeling bored. I just wanted to talk. But hardly do people waste their credit on things like that. If anybody serious, anybody important like God calls you, summons you distinctly, calls you by your name, then there is a reason why He's calling you. There's a reason why He's calling you. And that is what we must understand. And it's a purpose, a special purpose. Wants you for a special purpose. Yeah. Wants you for a special purpose. And if you look into the Bible, you see all kinds of people who were called by God for a special purpose. If you look at the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was killing people, and later he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was called. Paul was called for the purpose of preaching to the Gentiles. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one who actually, in fact, When Jesus came, Jesus made it clear. He said, you know, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. When the Syrophoenician woman came and said, my child is sick, and all, he said, no, we don't give the food of the children to the dogs. It means that what I have, I give it only to the Jews. You are a dog because you are from Syrophoenicia. I don't know what I was, but father from here, mother from here, but somewhere like that. Yeah. And Jesus said, no, we don't. This healing, this ministry, it's like, I don't marry people outside the church. Kind of. He said, if you don't come to the church, I can't buy, I don't know you. I can't lay my hands on something I don't know. Yeah. I can't bless something I'm not involved. I don't know where it's going. Because it's not just a prayer. It's also how the two minds and the understanding also is. It's not just praying for somebody, may the Lord bless this marriage, and then it's blessed. Your mind also and your attitude also helps or does not help the blessing. Blessings are not robots that just work in your life irrespective of what you do. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. So it was something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Yeah. So Paul is a good example of something like that. He was called for the Gentiles. He had to come in because Peter, James, and John, they were not getting it. No. So what? No. As Jesus, well, we walked with Jesus all along. He never spoke to. I mean, even the times where he spoke to the strangers, we were wondering. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was speaking to the woman from Samaria, they were wondering, well, why is he talking to this woman? What business has he got with this woman from Samaria? Because the Samaritans and the Jews in those days, there was nothing common among them. So Paul was called for, he was appointed for a special and a particular, a specific purpose. Have you been called for a specific purpose? Have you found out the purpose? Do you know the purpose? Are you going to spend your 30, 40, 50, 60 years not knowing why? The Hebrew word for call is what? It's to be appointed. It's pakad. Pakad in Hebrew, to be appointed, to be appointed, it means to give a charge to someone or set him over something. So if you have been appointed, Lady Pastor Mary, it means that God has given you a charge over something. What is that something? Tanisha, do you believe you are called? It means that God has appointed you over something. What is that something? Making babies? Yeah. As for babies, anybody can work babies. You can't convince us that the reason why God has called you is just to make babies, to fall in love zone. Just fall in love and go to nursing and just have a nice career. That's why God has called you. As for going to school and getting a degree, your common sense must tell you that you should go to school. If you're okay in your mind, you should know that you must go to school and get a career and get a degree. It's a normal thing. So if God cannot come into your education per se, William Carey was a shoemaker. It also means to commit something to someone and to give him the oversight of it. To be appointed means to commit something to someone and give him oversight of it. Like, I believe that I've been called. I believe that I've been appointed. I've been appointed for a special purpose. So God has committed the Guyana mission to me. Yeah. Bishop says hello. He called me this morning. He says he wants to come back. He wants to come back. He said he enjoyed Guyana. He wants to come back. Yeah. He wants to come back. Hey, expect great things. He says he. Yeah. He'll come back. So wow. Yeah. So I've been called. So if I was in Holland, even though I was something in Holland, that wasn't my appointment. My appointment was something special over Guyanese people. People that I don't understand. People who speak differently. People who say scratching when it's itching. People who say brushing or scrubbing. Brush your teeth or scrub your teeth. People say bed when it's bath. I mean, different. Wow. People who put sugar in their food to eat instead of pepper. Yeah, coconut oil, coconut milk. They say pepper pot, but it's not pepper, it's sugar pot. I tell you. Yeah. It's too fantastic. Appointed for a special purpose. So if you believe you are called, then you must understand that you have been set over something. Appointed. Hey. The Greek word for appoint is what? Diatithemai. Which means to give someone an assignment. Your life on this earth is an assignment, and you have to complete this assignment at all costs. I tell you. Now, when I look at the guys that we've sent to Ghana, for example, like someone like Samuel Jordan. I mean, anytime we talk, it's like I would have been lost. It's like I didn't know what I was into. I'm so surprised. It's like there's something else that exists. So nice and so sweet. That's to serve God and give yourself to God. That I would have, I don't know where I would have been. Like anytime we talk to them, they say thank you. Whereas some people are looking for man and looking for man there. Some people are saying thank you. Yeah. He understands what it is. Separated, appointed over something. It's like now the purpose is becoming clear that I was missing out. I was on stupidness. Hey. Jonathan. Yeah. I have to come and see your wife.
Yeah, you deserve a visit. Every church member deserves a visit. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 50. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 50. Bible says that, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony and over all the vessels thereof and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it and shall encamp around about the tabernacle. So the Levites, here in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 50, they were given charge or oversight over the tabernacle of testimony, which came with the vessels thereof. The Bible says that they shall minister only to that. That's the charge they were appointed over, that particular thing. That was their appointment. That was their call. So when you are called, you are appointed for a specific or a special purpose. In Numbers chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, and thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Yeah. Because that's not what they have been. The stranger is somebody who has not been appointed over the priest's office. It is for Aaron and his sons. That's how come one day when the ark of God, you know, a guy called Uzzah? Yeah. So I think somebody was asking, why did God kill him? I said, but it was a simple instruction. God killed him because he wanted to be killed. Because God said, God had appointed people to take care of the ark of God. So Uzzah, who saw the ark on a horse cart, he was pooping, right? He was pooping. The ark, I don't know whether it was calves or donkeys, they were pulling the cart with the ark of God on it. And the ark of God slipped and it was falling. And Uzzah felt like he could help God, because God was falling down. So he went and prevented the ark from falling down. When he touched the ark, bam, his heart stopped beating. He died. And David was wondering, why you kill him? He was helping you when you were falling. Said, hello.
He was not. Why would he want to touch something that he is not appointed to touch? Why will he want to do something that he has not been asked to do? And it's not very serious, you know. It's not very serious. You see, when God calls you and appoints you over something, you really need to find it. And that's how sometimes, you see, people get very, very confused. And that's what also makes people don't even want to respond to any call or something, because the specificity of the call makes it sometimes like, how you know is this one? Right? They make it become a problem rather than, a solution. Kevin, your wife, it looked like your wife also didn't allow you to sleep last night. Jonathan, I think you form an association. Yeah. Tired Boys Association. You know when some of us woke up? I should be preaching and say, okay, the call of God. It's all right. Appointed. Say, hey, Charlie. You will not know at all from how we are behaving, whether we are tired or not. Yeah, people don't have nothing doing. Sleeping. How can you even discover your core? Yeah, when you're sleeping. So the call is specific, but you see, it becomes very clear as you serve. But sometimes we are prevented from serving to even find out what a specific call is about. The call is a very general thing, but God appoints us specifically over particular things. But that only comes when you grow. Because you have to familiarize yourself with the whole thing before. That's how come this new government, they are trying to do audit the forensic audit. Because before you can really move on stronger, you need to understand how things are going on. You can't start to spend money at a certain level when you don't know where the money is coming from. So that's why they have all these things. So as you are called by God, you have to just do anything. Like when I was saved, I used to open the door and I ring the chairs in the church. Almost 20 years ago. God saved in 1989. Yeah. September of 1989. Yeah. Some of you were not born. Some of you were 1 year old. Yeah. Some of you was 5 years old. That's when I got saved. That's when I could say that, yes, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I said that consciously. It wasn't like I was a baby and they poured some water on my head. No. Consciously made that decision. The first thing I used to do was to open the door of the church and I ring the chairs. Yeah. I started beating the conga. Higher. So we lift Jesus higher. I pray and I sweat. As I'm playing, I'm dancing as I'm playing. That's my first job. Yeah, I can give you my CV right now. That's my first job. I moved on to join the prayer ministry. I was praying every Friday from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. On a school park, football field like that, in the dark. You and your God. We come to the middle of the park, and then the leader will say, okay, we are praying for this. Amen. Everybody go. There's no place to sleep. You are walking in grass. You know, grass in the night. There's less light. Where are you going to sleep? Where? Lie down and sleep. Okay, you see, some snake will come to you in the night. Yeah, every Friday, Baga Hakima, every Friday. How many times you pray? I joined the prayer ministry. Yeah. And I started, at the moment when I started moderating our services, then I migrated. When I migrated, then I became a praise and worship leader. Oh, yeah, oh. Challenge. Ah, hey, higher. When I'm leading praise and worship, you will dance. You must dance. You got to dance. You should. I must. Oh, you can. No, I mean you should dance. Hey, no. You will dance. With passion and zeal. Oh, we're saying, I will sweat. When you take your shirt, you have to squeeze it for the sweat to come out. And then I became a Bible study teacher. I used to teach Bible study. Yeah, like we come in the morning like this. Before everything starts, they will take a scripture. And then I'll be there. And I'll teach and we'll ask questions and answer like that. I moved on to become the church secretary. Yeah. Doing moderating services, but then church secretary. I became a DJ of the church also. Yeah, anytime there's birthday party, wedding reception, I was the spinner. One-man band. Hey! I've done things, though. Before I got here to be preaching to you, I've come away. And then my pastor at the point will allow me to preach one time. Yeah, I it was okay for me as long as he was not going to make me preach every Sunday. It was okay because he'll give me 1 month notice. So you crack your brains, look into Thompson Chain Reference Bible, find something, and then come and talk about it. And sometimes when the church was a little local also, so sometimes when we have an English preacher who speaks this fantastic English, then I do the interpretation. I used to do all of that. Until Bishop, I met Bishop. Yeah, tree. And then I lighthouse. And then I'm here. It is. You have to enter this. You have to enter into the thing first. And you have to do anything that you are asked to do. It has taken me 20 years. Or more than what? 20, 1989 is what? 26. 26 years to be. I don't even know whether I am. But I believe that I'm a pastor. But I'm not 100%, but I think I have some 85 to 90% assurance that have been called to the office of a pastor
after 26 years.
So, even though it's specific, it takes a while to really. And so sometimes people get confused when they start. They say, oh, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. You're a prophet. You don't get any dreams. When you sleep like a snake. How can you be a prophet who sleeps like a snake? Look at Jonathan to tell us that he's a prophet. What is he even sleeping in the church? Oh, well, it's when you sleep that you get visions. Hallelujah. My time is up. Please stand to your feet. We shall continue. I shall continue. So you should do things. You should play instruments. You should do this. You should do that. You should sweep the church. You should take pictures. You should be a photo driver. You should sing. You should do backing. You should do stage. You should do that. You should sell books. You should sweep. You should do all that. Work in the pastor's office. All kinds of things. Oh, it's just an exposure to the world of the call of God. And as you move on, realize that you begin to settle at a particular area. Samuel, you must be excited that you did this, you did this, you do that, you do that, you do this. You must be excited about that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Take my hand.
Take my hand, Lord, and my feet.
Oh.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh.
If you can use anything, let that be your heart desire this morning. If you can use anything, Lord, if
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hand.
Take my hand, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. No, we will identify our call even as we accept the call. Thank you for teaching us that we have been appointed for a specific and a special purpose. Just as the Levites and Aaron and his sons, so we also believe that you have called us for special things in your church. Continue to help us to dive deeper as we serve you on a daily basis. And let us discover at the end of the day that specific thing that you want us to do. We honor you, bless you in Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.